Facebook or YouTube. That way you can make sure all your friends can join us for service this morning. Yeah. And here we're doing Decisions Part 4.
It's going to be amazing.
Yep. Maloof is going to be preaching this morning, and it's going to be such a great thing. But I hope you guys had a good week. I was listening to this amazing, I read this article this morning in the paper about these men who came and protected a policeman in, well, there was a protest going on, and about five or so men came and protected, and they were like, if we're protesting for love, then let's love people.
That's so
and
good.
They showed by example, and I just was that was the most amazing good news story this weekend that I read. So shout out to all those men who who took a stand in
it's incredible
in love protecting other people. It's really, you are to be admired this morning and honored, so thank you for doing that.
Absolutely.
But we're so glad that you're here. We have two people online with us this morning. We have the Circes, and then because we are in a virtual lobby, we decided how much fun would it be to bring people in who don't actually live in Texas or come to our physical building when we are open in our physical building, but are still part of the Expression
Church
family and the story. And so we have some friends from Seattle, the Blomquist,
all the way,
who are going to be joining us secondly this morning. So anyway, we are going to do our first call.
Okay.
So the Circes, here we go.
Let's see. Oh, I forgot to ask you, Mom, how do you take your coffee in the morning? What do you use? What
Lots
do you like?
Lots of creamer.
Lots of creamer. Do you, would you like a little bit of coffee with your creamer?
Yes, I would like coffee with my creamer.
I just drink mine black, in case.
I know. You're so solid
I
that
just,
way.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if they are going to answer here. Here we are. As it rings, we were just on with them a little bit ago, so I know that it works.
They're there.
Oh, are they there?
No.
Oh. We're going to try one more time. Let's call back. Here we go. Circes. Stephen and Diana and Faith.
There we go.
Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Faith.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi, Diana and Stephen. I just want to introduce this amazing family right here. This is the Circe family. And you've probably seen them. They're part, what are you guys, part of the prayer team? What is everything you do here at Expression Church?
Prayer team, and
host team,
and then...
We tried an e-group.
Yeah, we tried to lead an e-group, but, the timing was off. Yeah.
COVID happened.
And now Faith,
And Faith, you're in EYC. How old are you, Faith?
I'm 15.
15.
Yeah.
I just want to tell everybody out there who's watching that this child, Faith, is the most, you guys have the most amazing
child ever. It's true. It's
child
absolutely true.
Ever.
It's you're absolutely
Yes,
true.
We do.
We got blessed.
You are so gracious and you're so full of faith. And you know what I love about you, Faith, is every time I see you, you have the most genuine, large smile on your faith, on your faith, on your face. And you talk to everybody. You love everybody. So I just...
It's true.
It's really amazing.
She got that from me.
Amazing girl.
She got that from her dad. No, but it is true probably because I know you, Stephen, every Sunday. If you don't know, this guy comes up to Maloof every Sunday and encourages my husband, which I totally appreciate and love. And you're always telling him something great about the message that he just preached.
Yeah.
And I know that means a lot to him. So thank you, guys. You guys are... off the charts amazing. But how long have you been part of Expression Church now?
3 years.
Has it been 3 years already?
Three years.
Amazing years. Yeah.
Wow, that flew
that
by
is
so
amazing.
Fast.
It did.
Yeah, it did.
Oh my goodness. And then so how did you find us?
It started, well, actually Faith went to school with Abby Geraci. And I've known Daniel and Allison from Summit Christian Academy days. There's a plug. but Abby invited Faith, and we're like, well, we were looking for a church home. We've been kind of church hopping, so to speak.
Finding a place.
Looking for the right place. And then we came to Expression Church one Sunday morning, and been there ever since.
Immediately knew
this was our church family.
I'll never forget. I mean, I just feel like I can't believe you've been here 3 years. It feels like you've been here forever.
That's crazy.
Because your face, you bring so much joy when you walk into the building. And I think what I appreciate about you guys is that you embody the whole mission of Expression Church, where we're about Jesus and we're about people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that when we're all back in the building, that people are going to be able to meet you guys, because you have the biggest, most genuine heart.
So inviting. Make everyone feel like they're at home.
Yes.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
And I want, you guys live in a really special, unique place.
Yeah.
And
we are blessed.
We had the pleasure to go up there the other day. Why don't you tell people? Because people don't get to hear about, like, who are these people? You know, so tell them where you live and what's cool about your place.
Well, we live close to Jonestown, but literally we are at the top of a mountain and we overlook a valley on both sides. And, you know, we just try to bring glory and honor with our house. And whoever comes in here, we want them to feel loved and feel the warmth and know that, you know, the sense that Jesus is here
feel
his presence. And that's the environment we try to create. And so.
But what's the other cool, interesting fact about your property that you guys have?
Well, on December 19th, 2019, we had I had a visitor show up. I was going to get into my Caterpillar skid steer loader, and in front of it was a white dove. And I took pictures of it. I got a picture of it right in front of my front end loader and didn't really think anything about it. And it's just like, wow, that was awesome. And it's been here ever since. It comes and it goes. He's actually gone right now. He was here last night. In fact, last night when we were all in the pool, he landed on my head in the pool.
Oh my God. He then landed
on Diana's head in the pool, or Faith's head on the pool. Diana's head in the pool. Yep. And so we were like, wow, we're being baptized by the Holy Spirit in our own pool. And it was like, this was an incredible event. And so I've got videos. And for those who aren't following me on Facebook, I post little things about the bird. We named it Yahweh, which is his new name. And we haven't figured out if it's a male or a female.
Mm-hmm.
But with it, every day when he's out there, I go out on the back porch and I feed him and I spend some quiet time with the Lord and the bird and trying to understand the meaning behind it all. And I feel like there's several messages that have been delivered to me through the bird. And one of them is, the most important one is, as we draw closer to God, he's going to draw closer to us.
That's good.
And so as I'm drawing closer to the bird is drawing to God. Excuse me. The bird is actually drawing closer to me, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. A white dove, I've done some research on it, and the white dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so having that connection there, and that time there just is really, really amazing.
I love that you can follow it on Facebook. But another crazy fact about this amazing family is we basically went on safari when we went to your property.
So we have an exotic ranch.
Yeah. It was amazing.
It was amazing. We saw how many different, five different
orcs.
Types orcs.
Yeah, we're currently raising scimitar horned orcs, which are an endangered species. They're endangered in their native country, but they're not endangered here in Texas. Mm-hmm. We have a European mouflon sheep.
Yeah.
We have Atlas deer. And then, of course, we have the two Israeli donkeys, which have the cross on.
Oh, my goodness. Those were my favorite. I never knew that those donkeys, like, existed, but it's the donkeys that Christ rode
into Jerusalem,
and it has a cross on the
because
back.
Because it was permanently scarred with
the
cross.
Oh, my gosh. It was
beautiful.
It was amazing.
They're beautiful. I started tearing up when we first saw them, and I was like, why am I tearing up when I'm looking at this donkey? And then you shared the story of how that is the breed of donkey that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and I was like, well, there you go.
Yeah.
The presence of God.
There you go.
On
that's
a donkey.
It really is.
Savior of the
really
world
amazing.
Who rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey's colt was forever scarred with the cross.
It was amazing.
And we see it today on the back of a donkey.
Yeah, it was amazing. And Diana, I know you, so a lot of people, like, they just see people come into church and they have no idea about what they do. Tell everybody, you work, you're Can I say butts on church?
Kicking butts and taking names?
Yes, you can.
Can I say that?
Yeah, yes. I work at Dell. So yes. I've been at Dell for 27 years, and I'm 100% work from home. So the whole COVID thing didn't affect me much. Yeah. I'm in my office. I get to look out at the beautiful hill country over our pool and hot tub. I mean, it's just an incredible view. So I'm working away all day, seeing the beautiful view out there that God gave us. And it's just such an enjoyable experience. But I do like my job. It's enjoyable. I work in mergers and acquisitions for HR, and it's quite busy and quite stressful, but it is a fun job.
You're amazing. And Faith, tell me one thing you're hoping to do this summer.
I'm traveling to the beach in July.
Come on. That'll be fun.
That is something to look forward to.
Yes.
That will be so much fun. I actually
don't know if I would ever leave your house if I lived up there perched on the hill, but the beach.
We had a family trip planned to go to the beach, and we canceled it. And we're like, why spend the money when you have
your own little oasis?
Vacation.
She's going with a friend.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, we have Cabo in our backyard.
Yes, it is amazing. And you have a vegetable garden. I mean, you're practically almost self-sustaining up there sometimes. It's going to be...
Emma, you forgot your vegetables. I need to bring some.
We've got more vegetables. We started a garden. This is our first ever garden that we've ever done. And we started it this year just on a whim. And, the COVID, and we're stuck at home. So, let's garden.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really come a long way. I might be a commercial farmer before it's all over.
Well, listen, I just wanted to say thanks for joining us.
Thank you, you guys.
When we are back in the building, you are going to want to get to know this family. They usually sit to the front, to the right-hand side. I know exactly where you guys sit. So you're going to want to search them out and get to know them, and because they will bless your life. But we love you guys. Thanks for joining us.
Love you, Faith.
Before you go, I wanted to show you my coffee cup.
And a strong cup of coffee. That is
but
amazing.
But the first part says... I did it all the way. Faith and a strong cup of coffee.
Today I woke up flawless.
That is the best.
You guys, that
I woke
is amazing.
Up flawless. You guys are amazing. Well,
thank
we
you
love you guys.
Love you guys. Love you guys. Soon. We love the expression. Bye. Everybody out there.
All right.
God bless.
You guys. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, Faith. They are amazing.
Oh my goodness. I love them so much. They really, if you guys haven't ever met them, you are going
to
want
to
meet them.
The Searcy's.
Yes, when all of this is past and we're back in the building and everything. Mm-hmm. But we're going to join one other family. This family is from Washington.
From Seattle,
Washington.
And we go back with the Blomquists.
For forever, since you were born.
Probably before.
Yeah.
Hi, guys!
Hello!
Hey!
Good morning!
I just want to introduce everybody to this amazing couple. This is Darren and Joanna. And we were talking about how long we have known each other, and we were like, if Emma our girls are 17, I think it's probably like 18 or 19 years.
Oh, at least.
At least. 20 years, maybe. Yeah. Amazing. But I just want to fill people in on who you guys are. So these amazing people, Ryan and Darren, they dirt bike together. Yep. Joanna worked with us in...
Kids ministry.
Mm-hmm. So when we started Expression Church, all of our swag that we had, shirts, hats, everything, Joanna made all of that for us. They are the most talented people. But beyond that, these two right here, even though they're not here in the building, they come every year to visit. And Expression Church, they are so for you.
Yeah,
because
it's true.
I have to tell you something about this man right here. For 7 years now, he has texted Maloof every Saturday night and prayed for him. In text, I mean, I don't think you've ever missed a single Saturday ever in 7 years.
It's really
the most
amazing.
Loyal, amazing, generous people you have ever met. And so when they come, we're trying to get them to move to Texas, to be honest.
It'll happen.
We've been trying for 7 years to get them to come with us here to Texas. But when they walk into the lobby and you see them, they're instantly going to be some of your best friends and most supportive people you've ever
met. You guys are just so fun to be around. I know. Your family is just so fun. Kimby and Ross and...
I know. Yeah. And Whitney.
So and Whitney.
Cool thing about you guys, I mean, I could say 10,000 things about you guys. You guys also adopted 2 kids, your 2 younger kids. And I mean, you guys are truly
incredible
champions of people. I've never met anyone about that. So question, do you guys have a coffee cup with you this morning?
Oh, yeah.
What do you have?
New Zealand.
Central Washington, where Whitney went to college.
Yes, right there.
Then we have our better to get her mugs. Yes.
Oh, good.
You know, the ones that
did not work.
We're supposed to say better together, but
we
Maloof, we kind of had a brief thing, and now they say better to get her.
Which so, it's how Joanna, did that up?
Joanna did it, not do these cups. No. Let me just say that.
How does that happen?
But I am going to put in a shameless plug for Joanna over here. She has her own business online called JoyShineDesigns.com.
Incredible things.
And if you ever need anything made or like with graphics, hats, cuts, I mean, you do it, shirts, headband. I mean, I think you do everything on the planet. So it's pretty amazing. But tell us, how's it going in Washington there?
We're just all COVID, you know, stayed at home. I've got a ton of hair gel in because I haven't been able to get a haircut in about 2 months. I think I got it plastered down.
Oh, my gosh.
Plastered down.
Gray skies, we wish we were there with you.
Yes.
And just to put in a plug for you guys, Austin and Cedar Park, you have no idea, if you don't, how blessed you are to have the Maloofs for the gift that they are, for that amazing family, and our loss, but we're going to be there with you one day, and
yes,
we'll all be found.
That is right.
Hurry up.
For sure.
I think almost everybody's graduated. You have one more to graduate from high school.
Right, we do. One more year, and then we'll be dead. We can make those changes.
We're counting down the days there that you guys can come. So tell me now, Joanna, you probably have some crazy stories too about kids ministry, and Darren about Maloof and all of your dirt biking escapades and everything you do. What's something funny about, like, you remember about all of us being together, or something that people wouldn't necessarily know about us in Seattle, but you know, but that you guys have a story for? Do you have any on the top of your tip of your tongue? Do that question out there.
What was the name of the character that Ryan played? He was like a silly doctor, maybe?
Dr. Magoof.
Dr. Magoof.
Yes. Does Austin know about Dr. Magoof?
No, they do not know. They have been introduced to Junkyard Bob, I think, one time on a Sunday morning.
They do know a little bit about Junkyard Bob.
But not Dr. Magoof.
But not Dr. Magoof.
Yes, that was...
Yes.
Maloof had a kids' TV show that he did, and he created all of these characters.
Yep.
And Dr. Magoof was one of the crazy characters.
No, something seems to be the problem.
Yes. Emma can do his voice so well. Yeah. So what do you guys do? Darren, where are you working now?
I am actually between jobs. Okay. I am in the process of becoming certified to be a home inspector.
Wow.
And due to the COVID shutdown, you're not able to take your certification test. So I'm kind of in a waiting hold.
A waiting pool. I remember, that's Maloof told me that's what you were doing. And Joanna, I don't know if I've ever met anyone in my whole life who does more jobs than you. Sometimes when I see your post, I'm like, she's up at 4:30 a.m. doing
that's
one.
Incredible.
On to the next
you
thing.
You are truly superwoman.
Superwoman. So out of all your jobs.
I am working a lot.
What's your favorite that you do?
My favorite is working for my JoyShine Designs and designing. I've been doing all the signs for all the seniors and honoring all the seniors in the Valley. We're in a small community, so I'm very attached with the high school, and now I'm doing middle school signs and my business has like skyrocketed since COVID, and I'm working 40 hours at the Everett Clinic still. So craziness, but I finally went back to the office last week and it was a happy day.
We're out of the house, guys. We're out of the house. And
exactly. You know me.
I know. I'm the same way. I went to Target for like, I would just have to go to Target.
I know, every day.
I would just have to leave with my mask and just wander Target for a little bit and then come back home because I'm like, I don't think I can stay inside any longer. So.
Yeah. Well, you and I are very similar that
yes,
way.
Yes, we are. Joanna is a go-getter, man, I tell you. Well, I was thinking about, I lost my train of thought. What was I thinking about? Guys, I have no idea. It came in and it came out of my brain. I have no idea what I was going to say. But okay. I was going to say, I remember. Because we were just talking to the Searcys.
Yeah.
And they live up on kind of this mountain. And I wish everyone could see where you guys live too in Seattle, because you live up in the mountains, perched up there, and you have a beautiful view. I wish people could really see Seattle's view. I wish it's I had a snapshot amazing. Of what the Searcys saw and then what you guys see, because it's just both sitting in the mountain on the hill, but just such an amazing view. And you guys built your house.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Yes,
we did.
We're 30 miles east of Seattle in the Cascade Mountains.
Oh, and the most
For those
gorgeous.
That don't know the area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gorgeous area. And you
what
have,
do you wake up to in the morning?
Mount Si.
Well, right now there's fog over the mountain, but usually we see Mount Si. So
I think
looking at the mountains in the morning.
Looking at the mountains and the snow that you guys post. If anybody wants to follow them on Instagram or on Facebook, you can, because then you can, if your children have never seen snow, literally the first snowfall always happens at your house. It's pretty. And then lasts all winter. And then just when you think
it's
done.
Feels like it's Sundays.
Yes, it snows again. It snows again. But we have like 30 seconds left. So I just wanted to say thank you for joining us. You just sit right there while we close up here. But you guys, these are the best people. And when they move to Austin,
amazing.
They're going to be your best friends. Because.
Yes. And we will.
Yes,
they pretty much make life better everywhere. When Expression Church says everywhere we go, we make it better.
They embody that. Absolutely.
So anyway, thank you guys for joining us. Thanks for watching us this morning on Expression Church Coffee Talk. But listen, if you are getting ready to watch us for service, go ahead and hit like and hit that share button on YouTube.
And subscribe.
And Facebook and subscribe. Because I just want to encourage you, your voice and what you are doing for other people by sharing this, people are hearing the gospel. We've had reports people getting saved.
It's incredible.
People's lives are being changed. They're being encouraged. And that's not because of what we're doing. That's because you.
Thank you for being a part.
Thank you for being a part. Yeah.
All that God has.
Of all that God has. So we love you, Expression Church. Don't go anywhere.
No, you are going to not want to miss.
So if you have to take a bathroom break, take a bathroom break right now for the 5-minute countdown and then hop right back on and join us for worship and an amazing word.
Yeah.
Number 4 on decisions that Maloof is talking about. But we love you and we'll see
you
later.
Guys.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
count on one thing. The same God never fails. When I fail me now, He will not fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. He's working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name.
Found in perfect love. Oh. They say that it's impossible to ever save a sinner's soul. But my God says to the prodigal, my beloved one, you're welcome home. So all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I free again. I will ever love and trust Him, and in Your presence, that's where I wanna live. Oh, all to Jesus I surrender, and all to Him I free again. And I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily. Only a moment to live this life like shooting stars, but
come on, Expression Church. We've got some fun things happening that are coming up, and we are into phase two of the road to head. But I first have to just say, Fawson and I are like twinsies. Every week it feels like we show up and we're like, hey, did you get the memo? And you know, the best thing about it is he just makes this look good. So, you know, I'm just trying, Faustin. I'm just trying. Actually, as a matter of fact, you have yours all buttoned up, but I had to unbutton mine because of the COVID-15. It's real. It's real. Hey, I just wanted to welcome everyone and just say, listen, what a great day to lean into what God has. And it is an honor to be here in your living room and wherever it is that you are. And I just want to let you know that we love you and we're praying for you. And we believe that God is astounding us in areas that we maybe didn't even realize. And so we look forward to this week and just want to encourage you to make sure you go online and register for our worship night. We need everyone to register that wants to come. And so this morning we are, if you didn't get a chance, check out our interview with our high school students. And last week's message with Aji and Ezine, I think you'll really enjoy it. Both of these interviews were just, gave us such an incredible perspective. And I really am proud of our seniors who've graduated. And just last week's message with Aji and Ezine. And I'm so thankful for them and sharing their perspective of kind of what's going on. And honestly, we've been in prayer. We've been in prayer as a church, and I'm sure you've been in prayer at home. And which brings us to today and decisions number four. This is part four of our decision series. And as I was praying, this is the title of my message, and it's, We Don't Know How to Do This. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to dive into God's word this morning. Father, we just thank you for how you lead us. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we get to be together this morning, just even as Faustin was sharing that there's something special about getting to do it in a different place, in a different way. And Lord, I thank you for the value of when things change, we can reflect on what it is that has changed and the good that has come out of it, because that's who you are. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. So Father, we thank you this morning. I pray that you would help me communicate what you've put on my heart. And I pray in everyone's home today that peace would reign. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at three stories this morning that I believe in the Bible, three illustrations of Jesus having a discussion and an interaction with his followers. And I believe it's going to shape the way we see the road ahead, because we've been talking about decisions. And I think bottom line is, as I was processing the idea of decisions, we really don't know how to do this. And it reminds me of this moment when my wife and I were building our house back in Seattle. And Dana said, okay, all the money that we have can only get it to this point. Basically, that was drywall. And she's like, so you got to figure out how to do the rest. Hang the cabinets, paint, molding, trim, all of that, flooring. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to go, and I found different people in the church who were good at certain aspects of what I needed to know. And I just said, listen, if you just come to my house on a Saturday and show me and demonstrate kind of how to do it, if I just watch you, I'll learn and I'll be able to do it. And honestly, that's how I finished our house. And as I was looking at kind of the road ahead and thinking about decisions and what we face as a nation, as a people, in an age where there's so much information, but yet we truly don't know how to do this. Because we go one place and we read and they tell us one thing, and we go over here and they tell us the complete opposite. And someone says, this is what you need to do. And someone over here says, this is what you need to do. And it almost feels like I'm condemned if I do and I'm condemned if I don't. I don't even know which road to take. And I believe there's something that Jesus wants to help us come out of this so that we can become a voice of change in our nation. And a voice of change in our home, a voice of change for what God wants to do. And it starts with John chapter 5. There's this There's this moment where Jesus, it says in verse 1, it says, afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate was a pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porch. One of the men laying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, and I think we have to put ourselves in that moment. Here is a group of people that have been sick and lame and waiting to get into this pool where they believed that when the pool would begin to bubble, that there was healing properties in that pool that could possibly heal them. And here's this man who's been sick for 38 years, lying there for 38 years. And it says this, that Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time. And he asked him, would you like to get well? I love that question, is that Jesus asks him, kind of as we talk about our mission as a church, everywhere we go, we make it better. And everyone asks the question, what can I do to help? Jesus says to him, would you like to be well? Verse 7, he says, I can't, sir, the sick man says, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. And Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. And instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. Verse 16, so the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath. This actually bothers me. It bothers me in a number of different ways. And I think it overlays into where we find ourselves today. How did Jesus know what to do? As the story is told, the man says that no one is there to help me into the pool. I've been laying here for so long, and I haven't had anybody to help me. And on this one particular day, Jesus is standing there, which is the Sabbath, and he sees the man, and he's willing to break the religious rule because he values this man. And he walks up to the man and he says, would you like to be well? I need to know, because I feel like I'm in this place that I can be a part of the answer. And the man says, nobody has been able to help me. We can look at that as an excuse. We can look at that in multiple different ways. But honestly, the question arises is, where were people? Where were the people that saw the value? And what's crazy about the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, that what was more important to them was keeping the religious structure rather than seeing the value of a human being. And because that's the way they saw it, they were angry at Jesus. And the Bible says that they now sought to kill him. Look at verse 17. But Jesus replied, my Father is always working, and so am I. So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. Verse 19. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished. Jesus says he does nothing without observing what the Father does. There's another conversation, and then I want to break this apart. And then we'll come to our conclusion. There's another conversation that Jesus has with some of those that are following him and the religious leaders of his day in John chapter 8. And I want to marry these two conversations, because it's really important for us to see where Jesus is going. In that first section there, as we saw Jesus' response, he says, listen, I do nothing without what I've already observed the Father do. And so he creates this idea of how we make a decision is actually based on what we've observed our Father do. And because your Father is the law, you only observe the world through that lens. But my Father in heaven has demonstrated and shown me how he responds to people. Therefore, in this moment, even on the Sabbath, even on the day where you believe that I should not do what I've done, I lean in. I take action towards people. How is Jesus able to break the mold? Because he demonstrates that he says, I only do what I see the Father do. So the question, the real question is, as Jesus leans into this moment, now we're going into the second part, is how impactful our fathers have been towards us. John chapter 8 says this, Then Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples. If you remain faithful to my teaching, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And this is where it gets crazy. But we are descendants of Abraham, they said. We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean we will be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son has set you free, you are truly free. Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there is no room in your heart for my message. I am telling you what I saw when I was with my Father, but you are following the advice of your father. And this is where it gets crazy. This is where Jesus starts getting crazy. Are you ready? They replied, we aren't illegitimate children. God himself is our true father. Jesus told them, if God were your father, you would love me because I have come to you from God. I am not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because, and this is where it gets intense, it's because you can't even hear me, verse 44. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. I'm sorry. I touched my thing and my iPad and it's totally gone. He was always hated. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. When I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. This is Jesus in this moment talking to his disciples as he's trying to unpack what's really going on. And he begins to, and the followers and the religious leaders that are there, and he's beginning to communicate this idea of the influence of fathers. And that fathers have, whether it's the lack thereof or the earthly father that we've had, that ultimately, because of sin, we are attached to a father that is trying to deceive, trying to lie, and trying to separate us from the truth of who Jesus is. And Jesus says, listen, what I do, what I have done is only because I have seen what the Father does. Okay, it's like this. Jesus is taking this moment and he's helping show us the path ahead. But first we have to identify, where is it? Where is this motivation? Where is this perspective coming from? And if we first don't recognize that we have been influenced by fathers and maybe even generational fathers, maybe even those who we've looked to be a father have influenced us in a way, and because of that, we actually are trying to make decisions, but we really don't know how to do this. Because those fathers were lacking. Those fathers didn't know. Those fathers were maybe trying their best. And Jesus begins to make this indication that, look it, if you don't shift, everyone is a slave to sin. That whether you understand what it means to be a slave, whether you've had a generation of slaves, and what's interesting is the Israelites had come from slavery. And that these men were like, no, we're not slaves. We're not illegitimate. We are sons and daughters. And yet their own character, their own decisions that they were making was coming from a place of actually trying to hold on to something rather than recognizing that they themselves are sons and daughters. You see, what Jesus is trying to get at is that how we do this is actually through humility and serving one another. This is what Jesus did. He stepped into this moment. He saw the value of this man and that he laid his life down. That's what the Bible says, for God so loved the world. The character of the Father is to respond to humankind with value. I love you, therefore I'm coming. I'm willing to shake the system because I value people. I value you. I am willing to step out of where I am and step into your world and even show up as a child in a barn. My favorite part, and this is where we come to the conclusion as we wrap this whole thing together, Jesus is trying to help us understand that many times in our life we have a father of fear. We have a father of judgment. We have a father of selfishness. And those things are dictating the way we function, and we have to understand that because of Jesus, now we have become sons and daughters of the Most High. Philippians actually says that Jesus, who is God, laid down his life so that he could become a servant to mankind. There's a beautiful story in the Bible as we close in this story, I feel, wraps it all up, and here's what it is. John chapter 13, Jesus is with his disciples in this room, and they're eating together. And the atmosphere is, they've been with Jesus now for a number of years, and they're watching every move that he makes. And the Bible takes this moment in John to describe that he pushes back from the table, which would almost even be an indication of authority, as he pushes back from the table to almost teach his followers on what to do. We've been used to so many people telling us what to do that we've kind of gotten accustomed to just telling people what to do rather than actually seeing the room, understanding what needs to be done, and we lean into it. How do we become change is not just telling people what they should think and do, but actually leaning into the moment and being someone who takes action based on the character of our Father in heaven. Jesus pushes back from the table, and the Bible describes that he took a towel around his waist and he began to wash his disciples' feet. This is very similar to another picture When Jesus was laying at a table, when he was there, and a woman walks in who's a prostitute and begins to wash his feet, and the audacity of everyone in this room, this is the lowest thing. And how could Jesus even allow someone who is like this to touch his feet? For this is, not only should this be reserved for a servant, but this is a woman and this is a prostitute. This is the scene before this moment. Now, Jesus is taking this similar position, and he goes to his followers. He goes to those who are going to betray him, those who don't think like him, those who are rough around the edges, and he wraps a towel around his waist, and he begins to serve them. There's a couple of things that come to my mind as we approach this, is that we have to recognize, number one, that how do we serve and how do we lean into humility? We honestly really don't know how to do this, because whether it be our earthly fathers or the lack thereof, or just even the way things have been for generations, we are being influenced in a direction that ultimately comes from the father of lies. Those who are in sin, those who allow sin to dictate them, are slaves to sin. Jesus, that's what he was saying. That we are all people who are illegitimate. We're all people trying to fight for position because we have this place from within us that we can't control, we can't shift, we don't even know how to change. And that anger rises up within us. There's this frustration, and so we leave our family, we separate, we break, we go away, we're looking for something, we're trying to find this thing that'll make us whole. And what I love about Jesus is because he knew he was a son, he was able to take action. John 13, verse 12, it says, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the message more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Last verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own child. Now, we call him Abba, Father. How do we do this? I think it first starts with recognizing that what is influencing us. Jesus says this, he said, these are the two greatest commandments. This is the filter that I see everything through. Number one, I've got to love my Father with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength because I am a son of the Most High. And as a son, I have a permanent place of favor. And when you are not a slave to sin, but you are a son and daughter of the Most High, you no longer have to fight for your position, but it allows you to lay it down and see the value in someone else and humbly serve them. This is my conclusion. We have no longer become slaves, but because of what Jesus has done, we now get to stand as sons and daughters of the Most High. And you want to know how we do this? Is that now we filter everything through, is this coming from a place that's actually going to cause me to love the Father more? And is this coming from a place for me to love my neighbor as myself? Melissa, can you put on some of that background music as we close? The world needs people who don't just tell everybody what they should think or what they're thinking wrong or how they should do it, but actually who take action based on being sons and daughters of the Most High. That we have all been removed from slavery. We've all been caught in this cycle. We've been all trying to figure out where this place is that we can call home. Or we can settle and find peace. Knowing that you belong. I think of a generation in America who was established in this country as slaves. And that we as a people have no idea what actually the influence of that has created in a people. But what I love about Jesus is he brings us all to the place where we stand at the doorway recognizing that all of us have been in that place. And we all need a Savior. And when we can recognize that we know what it feels like, even though it may be different than someone else and it may have been much longer than others, there is this empathy because we all come from a place that we have not been able to control our surroundings. We have been driven by a desire, our sinful nature, and the influence of fathers, whether it even be our own father or other fathers or the lack thereof. And Jesus comes like a lightning bolt to lean into action, saying that we are no longer slaves to sin, slaves to our fathers, slaves to a system that even on the Sabbath, when the religious leaders had said that you cannot do anything, Jesus leans in and is willing to set it aside, set the structure aside, because he values human life. Because when you're a son and a daughter, you're not fighting for position. You actually can humbly serve those around you. So Jesus in this room sees the room. No one has cleaned the disciples' feet. They've just gone right into eating, and there is a need to be taken. And I think it would be understandable that Jesus would pull back from the table and say to Peter, Peter, where is that person, that slave that you have that should wash our feet, that servant? That would be understandable, but Jesus recognizes that he is changing history in this moment. He's redefining the way the church and believers are supposed to act and be. He doesn't lean back and put his feet up and say, serve me. He even says the message is not even as great as the one who sends it. But slaves are now on equal term with the teacher. And he wraps a towel around his waist. He discovers the need and he takes action in the room. You want to know how you're being influenced in the wrong direction? Is if everything is now dictating you to be one who tells others rather than personally taking action to serve and be humble and to see the value in people. People who disagree, people who don't see it, people who are different, people who walk differently than you and I does not give us any right to lean back at the table and determine what should be done. What it does as a son and daughter is it gives us the right to lean in and take action as a servant. Because we have seen what the Father does. My influence is the father of generosity. My influence is the father that saw me at my worst and sent his son who picked me up out of that worst place and said, "You are mine." Can you imagine a world of people who take action in humility and serve, but you can't do it until you recognize that we have all been influenced by the father of lies. And until we recognize that we are sons and daughters of the Most High, and he boils it all down to this, how does your actions represent that you love me with all of your heart and you love your neighbor as yourself? And if it doesn't fit within that framework, then be careful how you tread, because something is influencing you and it may not be him. I am so excited because I believe that God wants to bring a revival in our land like none we've ever seen. But it's not about a person. It's not about even me being elevated that somehow Ryan Maloof caused revival in the city. I believe that what Jesus is doing is he's creating a place where now sons and daughters link arm in arm together, see the value in one another, recognize we have a place in the kingdom so that we can extend our arm to those who are waiting by the pool. They've been there for too long, and we take action even when it seems like it doesn't fit within the confines of our comfort. And that change, that man rolled up his mat and began to walk and leap and jump. Am I more worried about my stuff? Am I more worried about my time? Am I more worried about my position? Am I more worried? Is my father fear? Is my father stuff? Is my father how much I can get? Is my father position? Or is my father the one who moved heaven and earth for people? Let me pray for us today. Jesus, we surrender today to you. And first of all, as your word says, if we humble ourselves and we ask for forgiveness, that we've been influenced by fathers who were broken. We've been influenced by the father of religion, the father of lies. We've built walls around our life, separating us from the very people that we're supposed to care about. We've made our father our possessions, our father our stuff, our father our money. And we've walked by those who are sick and hurting, who've been waiting for help. Jesus, thank you for taking action in my life. Thank you for showing us the way to go. And we say yes to you. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the one that breaks every lie off of our life. You said that who the Son sets free is free indeed. I break off every lie on your life. You've been fighting for legitimacy. You've been fighting for a place, a seat at the table. You have felt like you have always been left out. And whether it's been generations of being left out, generations of being dictated to, generations of being pushed aside, I am telling you today that Jesus moved heaven and earth to say to you, I love you, and you are a son and a daughter of the Most High. You have a seat at the table. You're anointed and called by God to be one who brings action of showing the world what it's like to love God and love each other. You are someone who has the ability to change the world. How do we do this? We recognize the room that God puts us in, and we see the need, and we take action. One moment at a time. One person at a time. And it starts with understanding the value that we have in Christ. I love you today. And as we go into this last song, let the Holy Spirit begin to bring to the surface those areas that you've been influenced in. And take a look at the attitude and the perspective in which you are flowing from, and ask yourself, what father is influencing me? Because if this doesn't cause me to love God more and love people more, then I'm being influenced in a way that cannot actually bring real change.